Hello and welcome to another edition of Medical Minds Conversations with Guthrie Experts. I'm Steve Osterhaus, joined as always by Dr. Corinne Johnston, who is a family medicine physician, as well as the Chief Patient Experience Officer with the Guthrie Clinic. Hello, Dr. Johnston.
Good morning, Steve. We've got an interesting podcast ahead of us today. Something that is, I like to think, an area that the Guthrie Clinic is truly excelling. Touched on one of our recent podcasts where we were talking about telehealth or the ability to deploy technology in the healthcare setting and how that can benefit everyone involved in that partnership.
Yes, and you were talking about how the Guthrie Clinic is utilizing that technology, and it's really next level stuff, which I don't believe everyone really understands. And they're using that technology. For those of you who don't know, the Guthrie Clinic services patients in Pennsylvania and New York in a largely rural setting. So It's really cutting edge technology treating patients in rural areas. So really excited about today's episode.
Steve, joining us today, we have Terry Kautz, who is Guthrie's Chief Digital Officer, and Debbie Roppers, who is our Chief Nurse Executive, to really dig in a little bit more to creative solutions to kind of some of the shortages that we see in healthcare today.
Yeah, and it's really crucially important because the Guthrie Clinic is also on, the cutting edge of technology when it comes to healthcare. So we're talking a little bit about the Guthrie Pulse Center, which I think kind of hits on both of those needs or avenues. Yeah. So either of you can go ahead and kind of start and maybe, with the origins of the Guthrie Pulse Center.
Sure. So we were actually starting out with our new strategic plan. And we were trying to think bold and audacious, and how do we address some of the problems that we have? And we started just asking the question, what if we did, a centralized command center? What would that look like? And what services would we put in that? And what kind of problems would we solve? And what things would we influence in not only from our patients, but our caregivers' perspective? And it started with that. And one of the problems that we had initially, particularly coming out of COVID, was a nursing shortage, particularly in our ICU. And we were trying to combat that and the large spend in our travelers. And then just really just supporting our caregivers. We wanted this to be the place where they, fulfilled their career and the impact on our patients. So it really started with that. It's, could we?
For me, I would say the nursing aspect of that is that I wanted nurses to always feel supported at the bedside. We learned in the pandemic there was nothing worse than caring for patients behind a closed door by themselves. And we wanted to support them. We wanted newer clinicians to not be fearful and to be able to give more hands-on clinical care, but always have a phone a friend available, a seasoned, experienced nurse to call on, and actually be a second nurse in multiple occasions, and have literally someone to talk over clinical care in minutes, right? And in seconds, they're in the room with you while you're giving care. So it's to supplement and help our nurses feel secure.
Can we talk about what that looks like? You talked about that support and that phone a friend, but kind of how the Guthrie Pulse Center operates.
You want me to go first, Deb, or you want to go
first?
Sure,
you go first with the techno part.
Sure. So we started with, what technology was going to be needed to help support that. And so part of that, we actually started with just mobile cameras, but today we have cameras that are in all of our patients' rooms that have two-way conversation or two-way communication. So you can either call out to the virtual nurse, and the virtual nurse doesn't sit in the home setting. They sit in the Guthrie Pulse Center, which is a centralized location in Bit Flats. Or the virtual nurse can call into the room. So much like you are knocking on the door, you can ring a doorbell and it calls into the room so that everybody knows that you're in the room. We are also deploying a two-way video converse portion of this, where there's on the TV, you can actually see the person you're talking to, but that's the phase that's happening right now. But essentially that's what happens. The nurses in the Pulse Center are able to are able to document in Epic. They are part of their care team. They use another product called SickBay, which allows streaming of the biometric data, so all the cardiac monitoring data and the ventilator data, they can see real time. And it gives this view of what's happening with the patient, and they're able to use all of the data that's in Epic. They're able to see and visualize and communicate. They're able to see the biometric data. So they're literally a caregiver that just sits in a different location.
The best part is we found that we can use those nurses as part of the clinical team for anything that needs a double sign-off from a nurse perspective. So blood product utilization, and when we do high-risk medications, you need two nurses to sign off on those. They ping into the room. They're there as a second set of eyes. They walk through patient identification, the medication management, the rates, everything. And it's actually really, really much safer than stopping another nurse from giving care to their patient assignment and having to come and join a nurse in a room. And we've saved already documented time on the amount of it. We can do these tests much quicker now with a virtual nurse popping into the room to be there for support. It's also there for training. So maybe I haven't done something in a long time, and I just want an experienced nurse and say, hey, could you walk me through or do this with me? It's been a long time since I've done this procedure. So it's again, having that clinical advanced care available to you at any time throughout your shift as you're working.
Yeah, I think you both hit on this great piece of safety, right? Feel safety as a caregiver, like as the employee, but also safety as the patient. And I can remember in my early days in patient medicine, and I'd walk into the ICU and the heart monitors, the telemetry would be dinging and nurses were trying to care for patients at the bedside. But now there's always someone that's seeing that and watching that. That's got, as a nurse, to know you have that backup. Must feel great.
Yeah. I think one of the things that we learned early on, and this was actually suggested by the virtual nurses at the Pulse Center, was that they offset their start of their shift. So most shift exchange happens at 7 a.m. And so there's about 30 minutes of time, sometimes longer, where there's, you know, the report being given to the next shift, where there's less hands in the room. Or eyes in the room. And so what they start their shifts at 6 a.m. so that they are actually covering those patients during that time so that they can actually, you know, call out to say, hey, we have something happening in room two or whatever that is, so that they still have that, you know, those eyes in the room. They're not necessarily hands in the room, but they can actually have the, you know, the eyes on glass and be able to kind of facilitate that care if something were to go wrong during that time.
I think a lot of people hear the term virtual, and that may make people nervous. But I know what we always try to emphasize is that this is not a replacement of the bedside caregivers. It's in addition to. I know you're hitting on that with the phone a friend, but could talk a little bit more about that, that, you know, it's actually more people involved than any replacement.
Yeah, when Terry and I were looking at the program, we immediately did not want anyone to feel they would be replaced or that we were going to decrease nurses. We wanted them to feel supplemented. So an augment, we describe it as our basic care team with an augmentation that, you know, of these virtual nurses that then are able to come in and assist in the care. And they're doing care. These nurses are licensed in both New York and Pennsylvania because they're coming in and giving care in the chart and documenting. And so we wanted them to be, I mean, they have to be, if they're giving care to the patients, they have to be licensed in both states. So it's really that additional layer that is really just cutting edge right now that's occurring. They're not just doing tests, you know, far away. They're part of the care team. They do reports. They participate in huddles. They round with providers virtually, as well as with the direct care team at the bedside.
We're not just going to suddenly produce more nurses or more providers. That's just not going to happen. And the demands at the bedside are more intense than ever because we have all of these regulatory metrics that we have to hit. We don't have, you know, we don't have a choice in that. And so we can't just keep putting bodies in place. Like, we have to think differently in order to achieve the same high quality outcomes that we want for our patients. But, and I think technology can help us get there. It's not implementing for the sake of implementing. It's really looking at how do we implement to make sure that we're still providing care when the patient needs it, when they need it, how they need it, still providing support for our caregivers, which is one of our pillars of our strategic plan, but doing it with the same outcomes. And I think that's really what is so exciting about the Guthrie Pulse Center is that we're able to demonstrate that we didn't replace or reduce staff. We enabled the care that they're giving through a different form of care model, which is, essentially how we've deployed the technology.
And you're coming at this from an interesting viewpoint as well, right? Because, in your current role, Chief Digital Officer, but your background is also in nursing. Is that correct, Terry?
That is correct. So I think one of the things that helped me do well in my job is, this is less about servers and switches and all of those things that come with what we think about IT. This is really about enablement. And when we look at how care needs to be provided, where do we layer on that tech is what I try to help interpret. What are the needs of the caregivers? And then how do we facilitate that with technology through enablement? I think it's a translation. I speak a couple of different languages, but, it's obviously being tied to the mission and the value of our organization helps us align that. And, I think that I can also tell the story back to my IT staff who normally would just sit behind, closed doors and not understand the connection of the tech that we're doing at the bedside, and keeping that alignment actually keeps them really engaged as well.
Yeah.
And what a gift. What a gift to me. When I walked in and we started looking at this, I'm like, she's a nurse, a clinical background to work with and partner with. I mean, it's been fabulous. I think one of the reasons we've been so successful and moved so quickly and done it so differently than other places in the country is because of the partnership and that Terry has that background as clinical.
And it's almost for patients, I think, sometimes, especially in a rural area, we tend to use technology at the highest level to try to provide services that maybe are not available because of where we live. But it's almost an oxymoron to think that deploying the Guthrie Pulse Center, cutting edge technology, actually gives them more time face-to-face with their clinical team. Can you speak to that a little bit?
I mean, I sort of envision, particularly once we get the two-way visual, mm-hmm. where, particularly when you're in the hospital, you're not always ready to learn when the nurse has the time to teach. Yeah. You may not be in the mental state or the emotional state. Maybe you're a little bit tired or still, recovering from that surgery. But I envision when we can allow our patients to receive that kind of information, either in small bites, or maybe facilitate their discharge home earlier because they're helped, that virtual nurse can help engage in getting the ride set up, make sure they have all of those things, not waiting till the order is written, but maybe preparing them ahead of time. And, even things like virtual registration, we have, a hard time keeping those register clerks staff because it's an entry-level position and people either move up or they go to other careers. Why couldn't we do it in a standardized way to bring the registration right to their bedside? And so just thinking about those things at the patient experience level, it should be as seamless as Amazon. They know exactly what we want. They suggest things. Mm-hmm. We add them to our cart because they suggest them. It can be very similar to that experience where we are giving them the information or the data that they need at the time that they need it, not when we're ready to deliver it, just because that's when we have it. The time to do so.
Yeah.
For me, for clinical care, I feel like we're saving lives because of being able to offer virtual and clinicians that and specialties that we normally wouldn't have. I tell everyone it shouldn't matter where you live on whether you live or die. Being able to get to those specialty and the criticality of what's available and to assist. I mean, you don't know what's going to roll through the doors in those small ERs. And you might not have, seen it in a long time. And you have an intensivist right there helping you. You have critical care nurses documenting the code with you. I don't think you can ask for more than that. I think that's going to change rural healthcare.
Yeah. And to help that burden of documentation, to all of your point, right now I can actually sit at the bedside with my patient instead of having to sit at a computer on wheels.
That's right.
To document.
And you mentioned intensivist, right? It's not only virtual nurses that we're adding here with this. If you could talk a little bit more about that and then some of the other avenues and pieces of the Guthrie Pulse Center that, you know, outside of the nursing teams, but from transfer to all sorts of different things.
So we have essentially five different departments sitting in a command center-like setting. We have the virtual nurses, so both MedSurg and ICU, and they have different roles and responsibilities, and Dev can talk about that a little bit. We have virtual telesitting, so they help make sure that our patients that need to be monitored are not getting out of bed unsafely and that they don't have falls. We have centralized bed placement, so helping put the patient in the right bed at the right time. And sometimes that means they may come into Corning's ED, but maybe they're going to go to, you know, Troy's bed, inpatient bed. We have centralized transfer center and centralized telemetry. And that those synergies among those groups allow for a lot of cross skill set that allows for care across the organization. So we're essentially serving 10,000 square miles from one location, really gauging the pulse of our organization, which is why we called it the Guthrie Pulse Center. We also have a patient navigator, in that we're starting to grow out where we're starting to expand into the home. And what we want to do is look at remote patient monitoring, make sure that those patients have the ability to kind of be in their home, which is where we all want to be. But with the kind of oversight that we would want if they have a chronic disease, or maybe they got discharged a little bit early, but we still want to keep an eye on them and make sure that we save our patient beds for those who really, really need it, because we're not building new hospitals. That's just not happening. The other thing that I think is really interesting is that we can continue to expand the synergies that happen among those five groups with things like centralized maybe security management. And this is a concept that we're looking at, so that we have eyes on glass on all of our cameras. We have a lot of cameras, but physical security is obviously a big concern of ours, and making sure that our caregivers are safe and getting the right support when they need it. Or, you know, like we talked about, centralizing registration or centralizing ventilator management. So there are a lot of things that we can go and centralize and kind of have that span, that's scope of responsibility that would help serve all of our patients. So we have teleintensivists that don't sit in the Pulse Center, but they have they are assigned to us. They are Guthrie physicians. They are licensed. They round with the nurses in the morning, and they take care of all of the patients. And what that means is that they we have intensivists 24/7 only at Robert Packer. So that means our other ICUs actually have the ability to have 24/7 intensivists and that level of support. We've also brought in some teleconsults, where if we don't have a service like infection disease or pulmonary, like maybe Cortland or Corning, we can bring in the teleconsult for those patients. They can treat them, and if they don't need to have some sort of specialized test or procedure, they can stay in those and closer to home. They can stay where they are instead of being transferred to Robert Packer just to have a consult that then be either transferred out or maybe stay further away from their families. So, you know, I think that we are trying to make sure that, again, not only supporting our caregivers, but do we give the best care to the patient where they need the care? So instead of having them move to us, where do we come use technology to kind of move to them, which is, you know, in their family space?
I love how the roles do interact. Inside the Guthrie Pulse Center, you can actually see somebody that's on telemetry say, hey, to the ICU nurse, the virtual nurse, and say, can you take a look at this patient? Because something doesn't look right on their rhythm, the cardiac rhythm. And we've seen multiple examples that the nurse looks at it and then talks to the intensivist and says, hey, I think we have a change in condition. The same with our sitter. Our sitter has turned and said, this patient doesn't look good. Can you take a look to the virtual med-surg nurse? And the med-surg nurse goes in. So they do work together. And we love that, as part of a care team, they're there to support each other within their expertise that each one brings to the table.
Mm-hmm. When you look at your staffing, so people that are filling those roles within the Guthrie Pulse Center, I can remember when I first heard this tossing around, we were talking about it, and I said, well, who would want to work there, you know, virtually? And I think I was talking to a nurse, an experienced nurse, who laughed at me and said, oh, Corinne, there are so many people. So is that you fill those roles? Do you have a wait list? You know, what does that look like?
So I think it depends. So there are certainly roles that we need to recruit out to, and it's really about the understanding, right? They hear virtual nurse, they think, am I sitting at home? And so it's the understanding of what that means. I think also some nurses don't want to give up the hands-on bedside care. One of the things that Deb and I have been talking about is, could we use this as, you know, where they float in and out? And so a lot of our nurses will either be full-time in the Guthrie Pulse Center and maybe pick up shifts in their local hospital on the floor, or vice versa. Maybe they're full-time on the floor and they pick up per diem shifts in the Pulse Center. But what if we just use that as part of their day, right? And so we've been trying to toss this around to say, how can we use this as a, you know, maybe they get a break from the everyday hustle bustle. They can have a drink at their workstation, all of those things. They can sit down if they want. It's a little bit less chaotic. But I can tell you that the team that's in there now, they're really strong. One of the things that we do require is that they have at least 5 years experience. We don't want an unexperienced nurse coaching an unexperienced nurse. You know, we want that. But I also think it's an avenue for those nurses who maybe can't do the physical work anymore, but still they want to give what they know, their knowledge, the intuition that comes from being a nurse for so long, they can still do that. We do have a nurse currently that had a back problem and couldn't do the physical lift, but actually still provides care because he's able to do that in the Guthrie Pulse Center.
We looked at it as an avenue to prevent retirement, right? Yeah. So nurses that she just mentioned physically couldn't do this any longer, could they extend their career? And we saw a lot of baby boomers tap out after the pandemic. And we wanted to extend their career as long as we could. We couldn't lose any more nurses. Yeah. And we wanted, I agree with her, as far as we want to really go towards the future of looking at hybrid roles. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's we could really get nurses that share and come back and forth. And I think that keeps their clinical skills up to date, as well as assists with the team building. Right. Mm-hmm. So if I'm side by side with my nursing team one day and the next day I'm being the virtual nurse, you can imagine the collaboration that occurs.
Yeah, that's awesome. It just seems so cool that you actually have this wealth of knowledge that you're not losing. And in fact, you're just becoming so beneficial as a teacher and an educator to other younger nurses. It's awesome. Well, obviously it takes a lot of work. It took a lot of work and continues to take a lot of work to put the Guthrie Pulse Center together. You know, looking at this as, yes, obviously the healthcare providers and the Guthrie Clinic is the one trying to service this rural area and keep all the communities healthy. But what can we do in partnership when we look at like government or legislators and lawmakers? What can we do to work with lawmakers to help this progress and continue to move forward as a model?
Yeah, I can start with that one. Just politically, we've been really trying to get them to even recognize the nurse care hours. So these are nurses that are virtual. Right now, no one recognizes any of those care hours that they're provided into the care team. And we have some mandatory ratios in New York, and we worry about them going into Pennsylvania for the fact that we want to design care models that produce better outcomes, right? And it's about the acuity of the patients and how do we care for those patients. So we need legislators to know that these different types of model, the models of the future using technology, are where we need to be looking, not mandatory ratios. And we need to look at how we can continue to count these hours and even give them more. What more can virtual take so that the nurses at the bedside can continue the essence of nursing, right? Their hands-on care of when they're with their patients. And, you know, we're continuing to fight for that and advocate. And we were working across New York State as well as Pennsylvania to help them understand, how do we count these nurse care hours? How do they go into the CMS metrics and all of those things?
Yeah, I think this is a large change management, right? So it's not just about implementing the technology. I mean, you have to use it in order to make sure that it's successful. And I think it's going back to the why. Why are we doing it? Why is it important? The why for the nurse, the why for our politicians, the why for the patient. I think those are all different whys, but I think we can all tell the story, particularly when we actually start to see the outcomes that come with it and some of the things that are happening, you know, those kind of moments where you're like, oh my gosh, like, you know, one of the things that I love to tell is, you know, when you are doing a code, the virtual nurse can actually not run the code, but document that code for you. How awesome is that? They capture all of that after you come out of such a stressful, high energy, you know, when you come out of that, you, of course you were on adrenaline for that time period, but when you come out, it's such a sock that, you know, that drains your body. How lucky are you that you can have the ability to have that all documented real time? So not only is the data probably better because obviously all of that feeds into some of the best practice alerts and some of those things that come into having an electronic medical record like Epic, but also you don't have to do it. Somebody can look at it, look it over, make sure it's accurate and sign off on it, and that work is done. You no longer have to find all those papers, you know, where did you write on your scrubs, all those things that happen when you're going through a code. And most of us have been through that. Sorry, Steve.
That's all
right. Most of us have been through that. We know what that feels like. And it's you know, it's obviously you're doing it for the right reason, but it's also, you know, you have to kind of document all those wins that then align to the why. And really, it's just about better patient care.
And I would like the politicians and people to understand that we're helping rural healthcare. We're looking at community hospitals that just don't have all the access, right? Critical access hospitals. We have counties in Pennsylvania that don't have a provider. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, the more we can do these virtual setups to give them access, not replace, you know, providers, but to help with more access to our communities. And give them the support they need to be successful for the future.
Yeah. What's the level of the level of pride that the two of you feel being part of this project? Guthrie Services, you know, like we've all talked about, Pennsylvania and New York State. So maybe people across the country you wouldn't think are hearing about the Guthrie Clinic, but in fact they are. Because I know that, you know, people are seeing what Guthrie is doing and what you've been doing. So if you talk about how that feels to be a part of this.
I'm going to toot Terry's horn for a minute. I just feel like what we have done is revolutionary because it's very different than what anybody else talked about from a virtual platform. So when we went and visited hospitals, we would look at each other and be like, we don't want them just to be in a room and not part of the care team. We don't want them to be in a hospital where they're pulled and grabbed back to go into clinical care. We want them to be seen as this is a demonstrated area of the discipline that can be really like achieved and be certified in it and seen at that high level. And I think that was so different thinking than what was out there with, you know, people talked about across, you know, internationally, they could have nurses come in and just do, you know, admissions and discharges and things. And we were like, nope, we want them to be a Guthrie employee and part of our care team. And I think Terry's vision for that, for the use of technology, helped. She looked for partners out there who can help us achieve the vision for the innovation of what we see as the future. So I applaud Terry for that yeah. Vision.
Well, it did take a team. I mean, it was nurses had to come on board. You know, our leadership had to invest. I mean, this was not cost neutral. And we had to invest before we started to see the outcomes. You know, our providers had to feel like they can partner with a third party that for intensivists and trust the data. And, you know, we had to change our referral patterns as far as everybody comes into Robert Packer ED. I mean, it was a lot of change management, and that took a lot of process and trust in making sure that happened. But I think when you know, now it's just kind of part of every day. You know, we just, this is what we do. This is, you know, the Pulse Center is you know, part of our fabric. And it's really comes back when I'm somewhere, either at my on the Chime board or something that's, you know, not local, and everybody's like, the Pulse Center, I want a Pulse Center. You know, how did you do that? How did you operationalize that? Because most organizations have components, but it's not centralized like ours. And I think because we weren't implementing the tech just for the sake of saying we have virtual nursing, we were actually being very purposeful in how we wanted, and we actually picked things that we thought we could influence. I think that's what was really the change. And that took a partnership between IT and operations. That wasn't something that was, you know, just about the tech. And I think that's what makes me more proud, is that we have a team that we're able to be audacious enough to say, okay, this is going to be hard. We're going to have to invest a lot of money to do it, and it's going to take a lot of conversation around it and change management. But then, you know, these are the outcomes that we expect, and we're going to push until we get there, and we're going to learn fast, and then we're going to adjust, and we're going to just keep working at it. And then, you know, start with the foundation and build it up from there.
Yeah.
Engagement of the clinicians is huge, right? Like, this was huge change management, right? That to come in and say, will you partner with us? We want to supplement, you know, we want to assist you in getting that engagement. I'll tell you, was upfront the most important thing. And we were worried about patients and families. We don't have anyone refuse. They feel the extra safety net that's provided by the monitoring, especially the clinical monitoring. People go home at night and let their loved ones stay with us because they know they're being watched and taken care of in a different way, a more safe way. And I think that's huge. And our clinicians are very proud of the work that's occurring in this virtual platform.
Yeah. And I think it's so easy, because you've both lived there now for quite a while, to miss how transformational this is, right? We put the patient at the center of everything that you're doing, but it really embracing the teamwork that it takes to provide that excellent care. So you've been celebrated at many levels, but always within Guthrie as well.
Thank you.
I'll ask the one final question. You've both kind of touched on this already, but, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, what's the vision? What do you see?
For me, I see a nurse or a caregiver walking into a patient's room and never having to touch a piece of technology, that it is seamless, and that, you know, a nurse can just talk to their patient, and the data points that we need are captured. Now, are we there yet? Not yet, but I do think that the sweet spot of technology is really close. And once we get those vendors talking to each other and allowing that kind of co-development happening, you know, either in the ambient space or the computer vision space, we're going to really have a very different type of interaction, which brings the compassion back to the care that's being done at the bedside. And I think that can then translate into the home as well, so that we don't have to have a home health nurse going out on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, because that's the time that they're scheduled. But how can we get the data to allow us to serve our patients when they actually need the care, the home nurse to come out and provide that care? And maybe that's on Tuesday, and we'll be able to have that more personalized, like medicine, to do that. And having a foundation like the Guthrie Pulse Center is going to allow us to react to those technology developments and not be behind the eight ball on that.
And I want the technology to give my clinicians more time with their patients. Documentation should be an afterthought, not we have to prove our care that we've given. It will be already done for us, and it will then allow us to give better, more thorough care, meet regulatory requirements, but allow them to do the true essence of what we became clinicians for, right? The hands-on care, the interaction, the personal connection. Terry mentioned compassion. It's really about the connection, connecting with those patients and families and each other as team. I mean, I can't even tell you the support you feel when you know you have another clinician that's there caring with you. So to us, it's about technology, bring it on, keep developing because it's unlimited. We could continue to do more and more with that technology. It's just how fast can we move and keep up with where AI is going.
Awesome. We could continue to talk about this forever too, but we've taken enough of your time. So thank you both very much for joining us on this episode of Medical Minds. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
What an interesting podcast today. Interesting conversation. You know, oftentimes as consumers, because we're consumers in healthcare, right? As consumers, we're not aware of all the moving parts that come together to make our experience high quality, safe and equitable. And I really think that discussion around the Guthrie Pulse Center really opens that curtain, right? Oz, and we can see what's happening behind that curtain to really give us the best care in our footprint, in our area, and how can that spread? And I'm just thinking, Steve, something I've been dealing with day to day now in my office, some of that spread of technology to just going to see your family medicine doctor is I'm using ambient listening technology. And basically that means that I don't really touch the keyboard except if I'm placing an order when I'm in with my patients. And I have something that helps me write my note so I can get my note done faster and spend more time with my patients. And so that advancement, although seemingly so small, is making such a large difference.
Yeah, it's so cool, right? You know, you hear the term virtual care, but essentially that means more compassionate care face-to-face, right? Yep. More compassionate care for those patients because you're not having to worry about the documentation. So it's one-on-one time. So the patient knows that they're being listened to and that they know that they're getting the care that they really need. So really excited. I can't really describe it as any other way than really cool. That was what today's episode was
like. It reaches everyone.
Yes, yes. And for anyone who would like some health tips, as always, speaking of virtual and information at your fingertips, be sure to check out guthrie.org/engage.